Amen. Amen. Good morning and welcome. Let me invite you, if you wouldn't mind, those of you that would like to, go ahead and stand and turn to your neighbor, your neighbors, and say, whatever has been your week, I am glad you're here. About you, but I have had one of those weeks. I see some young ones, so I'm going to go ahead and dismiss the youngest among us. You are free, released to go to Children's Church. For the rest of us, we are going to head into Psalm 46 today, and so if you're grabbing one of those Bibles near you, page 403, the words will be on the screen to my left. And so we should be covered, and Retha's going to come up for us and read Psalm 46, page 403. The words will be on the screen as well, and then we'll pray and get to work.
In case you don't know, it's Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, I will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake in their surging, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fail. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in an uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord is almighty within us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Thank you, Retha. Let's pause for a moment and pray. God, these words have been no doubt prayed by your people for thousands of years. And may they now be for us as they have for so many others, more than just words on a page. May they become life within us. And so we ask you, give us hearts to receive today and the grace to respond. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So today, as we have been through the summer, we are continuing to travel the Psalms. Songs for the journey. What are these ancient prayers for ordinary days? And for those of you who have been here, and for those who have not, I will let you know. But for those who have been here, I hope that you have been noticing over and over again that these prayers keep inviting us to bring the whole of ourselves into the presence of God. To bring our whole selves into the presence of God, helping us, Right? The psalm's helping us to, in essence, navigate the journey, to walk through the ordinary days of our lives. Days, as we've seen, days that are often filled with moments when uncertainty lurks in the shadows, moments when maybe we feel stuck in the midst of the valley, moments when, I think 2 weeks ago, right, voices keep demanding our attention. Moments when, much like this text tells us today, moments when everything that we have thought we could count on begins to change. The ground that is so solid and dependable, we read, it is now giving way. The mountains, the very mountains, right? The very things we imagine to be strong and secure, we read they are falling. The seas, we read, are roaring and foaming. When everything is screaming at us, be afraid. And yet, notice the psalmist doesn't begin there. Right? The psalmist doesn't, he begins with God. God is our refuge and strength. God is our ever-present help in trouble. And so, yes, the trouble is very real, and yet, before all of that chaos, there is God. And it's then and only then that we read of the earth giving way, the mountains falling into the seas, roaring and foaming, and the mountains quaking. And what we want to get is these are not weather reports. Right? This is poetry. This is the language of a world coming undone. Those moments in your life and mine when things don't go exactly as we had hoped, when that situation, that struggle becomes too much, when that phone call flips everything upside down, those moments when everything around us begins shouting, try harder, dig deeper, hold on tighter, take back control. And yet, notice the psalmist's next line. He doesn't say, here is what you need to do. He doesn't offer us a plan of action. He gives us an image. There is, he says, a river. A river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. Noting this water is different. Right? It's not roaring. It's not foaming. This is a stream. We could say steady, gentle, even life-giving. Not that the sea of chaos, as it is no longer. And yet, it's almost like he is reminding us. He says, remember there is also a river. A steady, gentle, life-giving reality. Which is interesting because Jerusalem doesn't really have a river. But maybe that's the point. It says, we read next line, God is within her. She will not fall. What is to say, this river is a picture of the presence of God. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And then verse 8, we read, come and see. Come and see what the Lord has done, which is again interesting because when all the roaring and the foaming, when all the falling and quaking and surging, when all of the nations and are in uproar, again he doesn't say try harder, dig deeper, hold on tighter, take back control. Instead, he says, come and see. Come and see, not what you need to do. Come and see what the Lord has done. It says the desolations he has brought on the earth. Maybe it's just me, but when I read desolations at first glance, it sounds kind of harsh. In fact, desolations from the Hebrew shamaim, it means to lay to waste. It's this idea of making a wasteland of. But notice just what it is that he lays waste to. Come and see, he says. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. What is to say, God is already at work. In other words, when the call comes, when that pressure hits and you hear again that try harder, dig deeper, hold on tighter, right? Take back control. It's there that the psalmist steps in and says, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Remember, you don't have to be in control. God is already at work. Which is why next line, verse 10, he says, be still and know that I am God. Now, when we hear be still, I don't know about you, maybe it's just me, but when we hear be still, I think don't move. Maybe memories of playing freeze tag back in the day, where somebody would tag you and that meant you had to freeze, be still, don't move, till somebody tagged you and unfroze you, and then you could run again. Or maybe it's memories of a parent or a teacher, right, saying, be still, sit down and stop fidgeting. Right, that idea of be still, don't move. But that's not at all what the psalmist is after here. The Hebrew word is the word rapha. And while it can include do not move, that idea of not moving, the deeper understanding is to loosen or to let go or to release. And so while maybe don't move, be quiet is a part of Rapha, think more here of a posture of surrender. Hands down. Be still. Loosen, let go, release. You don't have to be in charge. God is already at work. Which is maybe all the more interesting when we realize that this psalm, we believe, was written by King Hezekiah. And during the reign of King Hezekiah, at this particular time, Jerusalem was surrounded. The Assyrians were pressing in around the walls. Food was scarce. The future uncertain, which is to say these words were not written from a place of comfort. These words were not written from a quiet cabin on a peaceful mountain. This psalm was written in the midst of chaos. Which means be still was never an invitation to simply do nothing. It is an invitation to trust, to surrender and to trust. Even or especially in those moments when it feels like everything is falling apart. Be still, right? Loosen your grip. Let go. Release. You don't have to be in charge. God is already at work. And then we read, and know. That's from the Hebrew yada. This kind of knowing, this is not knowing as in knowing something to be true. This is a knowing that comes by way of experience, a knowing that comes by way of relationship. This is a knowing that comes by walking the journey along with another. Which is important because the psalm, it doesn't say be still and then figure everything out. It doesn't say be still and then explain everything. It says be still and know. Be still and know that I am God. Right? Not that we even finally have all the answers. Not that we can even explain why this is happening, but know that I am God. Right? The one who is your refuge. The one who is your strength. The one who is with you. The one who is already at work. Even when the earth is giving way, even when the mountains are falling, even when the seas are roaring, be still and know. One of the things I love about these psalms is that they invite us to enter into them. And so as we close today, I want to invite us for the next few minutes or so to sit in stillness together. You can move. Posture of surrender. To sit with a posture of surrender for the next few moments, minutes together, before Dan and Roger come to close us in song. And I want to invite us to enter into this psalm. And as a way to help with that, I want to offer some questions for reflection. And invite us to consider, where in my life does it feel like everything is coming undone? Where in my life does it feel like everything is coming undone, right? The earth giving way, the mountains falling. Maybe it's the seas are roaring. Where in my life am I trying to hold everything together? Where in my life am I trying to hold everything together? Maybe what am I holding on to that I was never meant to carry? What am I holding on to that I was never meant to carry? And then with that, what would it look like to loosen my grip? To let go, to release. What might that look like? What would it look like to surrender what I cannot control? And then to close, and we'll sit for a few moments, and then Dan, Roger, whenever you feel led to come back up. How is God inviting me to lean more fully into His presence? What would it look like to live with God as my refuge and strength? And what would it look like to trust that God is already at work, even now?